Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Hey, good morning, every caregiver out there in my caregiver nation. I'm trying to do an entrance today as a tribute to Robin Williams. As some of my caregiver nation knows, Robin Williams passed away and was diagnosed with a type of Lewy body, and a gentleman has written a book about him. His name is Dave Eiskopf, and he tells about how the comic genius died of Lewy body and faded away with us barely knowing what was going on. So, gosh darn, that was just too bad about Robin. We loved him and all the work that he did as a really wonderful comedian. And so we wish his family well and real sorry that we've lost him. So anyway, hey, today's going to be a fun day. I've been on the air now for a year and a half. And I want to see if I can get some folks to call in today. The number, by the way, is 303-631-1430. Let me say that again, 303-631-1430. And I'll have a trivia question for you, which will be kind of fun. And I want to know, this is why I want you to call in today. I'd like to know what you as Caregiver Nation and our friends with diagnosis need in terms of me to chat about and bring as resources to the show. I mean, I have zillions of ideas on my own, but I'd like to see what you want to talk about. I think that would just be a whole lot better for maybe next week's show, that I take the topics that you're all looking at. Okay, so again, the number is 303-631-1430. And here's your first trivia question of the morning. Which of these famous Americans had Alzheimer's disease? A, President Ronald Reagan. B, screen legend Rita Hayworth. C, artist Norman Rockwell. Or D, civil rights advocate Rosa Parks. Or E, all of the above. F, none of the above. Let's see what you folks think. Okay, so something kind of came to my mind here this last week, and I really think that we have a lot of issues sometimes with our loved ones that are in nursing homes, facilities, care communities, whatever you want to call them, and we don't know what to do if a problem arises. So I want to talk about that just a little bit today. If you have an issue with laundry, if you have an issue with your loved one needing more fluids, just want to know about their nutritional needs or habits or things like that, by all means, contact the nurse on staff or contact the executive director. Don't necessarily go to just the caregiver that is there working with your loved one, because they may not be the decision maker and may not be able to answer all your questions thoroughly. And they may also need to be running to another person that could, another resident that could be needing assistance. And so that could be really hard for them to answer your questions. So if you can, try and talk to somebody that's in charge on the administrative staff. If that doesn't work, maybe you could get their email address, send them an email, say, hey, I'm going to be in tomorrow at 10 a.m. Could you look at these questions that I have? We can discuss them at your leisure. I need 10, 15 minutes of your time, or I need 30 minutes of your time. I need to talk to the doctor on staff, whatever it is. If it's something that can wait until the quality assurance meeting or the quarterly meeting for your resident, your loved one, then keep a list of the things that you want to know. Is there going to be a decrease in medication? Should there be an increase in medication? Are they losing weight? How are they doing in the daily activities? What's going on with them in general and overall? All those things can wait for the quality meeting that you have quarterly. So really think about what can be taken care of in an email, that could be scheduled, so you can sit down and talk to that person so they're not running around trying to help other people and answer your questions at the same time and give you a look like, I'm busy, can't you see that? Or, you know, that way you can always have that time scheduled, and I think that the staff would appreciate that. And I really think that that would help you with the communication with the staff. Now, what if it's a bigger problem? What if there's abuse or neglect, incontinence that hasn't been dealt with for days and days and days, and a person ends up going to the hospital or something like that? That's something that happened this week, and I was trying to help a family with that situation. Every community has the number of the local ombudsman. That's O-M-B-U-D-S-M-A-N. The local ombudsman's office, and they are sanctioned by the state. They are there to not only help the community with any behavioral aspects where they can help with trying to use some strategies and techniques to help the staff with a patient that is having some difficulties, but they're also there to help families. And they really can't do a lot if you don't let them know when something is going on. So if you have bruises on a loved one, you have bed sores, the person has had a fall, you think the staff might be in some way not paying quite enough attention to them, their eating habits have changed and something isn't being addressed, you think there's a lack of a good amount of staff to the residents and maybe there's some issues there that should be addressed by the state, by all means, look around. The ombudsman's number should be posted by law somewhere near the front desk. That family can see it. Okay, so look for that number. Look for it when you're not in need of it, so you have it when you are in need of it. It's hard to look around for something and feel like you're snooping if you're in a situation where you really, really need that. So please think about those types of things. In addition to that, if there really is an issue and maybe your loved one has gotten into an altercation or a fight with another resident and has been injured or something, the Ombudsman's Office and the Area Agency on Aging cannot help you until a police report has been filed. You need to understand this. We don't want anyone arrested, and the local police department certainly understand, the sheriff's department understand that a person who has Alzheimer's who is in a memory unit is not necessarily culpable for their actions. But the Area Agency on Aging, where the Ombudsman's Office works through the Colorado Department of Health, they cannot help you unless you have a police report number. So you have to make sure you go through the proper channels if you want assistance with this. Hey, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier, 303-631-1430. 303-631-1430. Tell me what you want to talk about on future shows. Tell me what's on your mind today. I really want to talk to my Caregiver Nation and see what's going on. And if there's something I can help you with, I'd love to. So, all right, back to my trivia question. I'm going to ask one more time. Which of these famous Americans had Alzheimer's disease? A, President Ronald Reagan. B, screen legend Rita Hayworth. C, artist Norman Rockwell. D, civil rights activist and advocate Rosa Parks. E, all of the above. Or F, none of the above. We're going to take a short break, and I hope to hear my phone ringing. I want to talk to my Caregiver Nation here at Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, and I really, really value what you want to talk about. It's important to me that I hit on the subjects and add the resources that you need each and every day. All right, so we'll see you after the break, and let's get that phone ringing.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms. meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, so again, our number here is 303-631-1430. Tell me what's on your mind today. Do you need help with a specific issue? Or tell me what you would like me to talk about in future shows. So I was talking before the break about if you have an issue and you need to contact some additional help to play mediator between you and the communities. Now, if you let someone know who's in the healthcare field, maybe it's another caregiver, maybe it's somebody that you know that works at another community or something like that, understand you can't just sort of, and I hate to put it this way, gossip about something or say, I see something going on at this community. This is what has happened. A person keeps wandering out of the building and it's supposed to be a secured unit. When you tell a person in the healthcare field, a police officer, a firefighter, a healthcare worker in any way, shape, or form, they are a mandatory reporting agent in the state of Colorado. And they have no choice but report that to the local police and the ombudsman's office, the Area Agency on Aging. So please understand that when you make a comment about somebody having abuse or neglect in a community, a hospital, or anything like that, the person that you are talking to, if they are a mandatory reporting agent, they must report it. So I just tell you that because I want to make sure we're covering all our bases. I want to make sure that my caregiver nation is understanding the ramifications of any issues like this. And we just want to make sure that we are doing the best we can to make our loved ones safe in these areas, and that we're addressing the needs and the issues, and especially the unmet needs of the people, the residents in these communities. So I'm going to go to a couple of questions that I've had recently and see if I can answer some from listeners that have told me offline. One of them is when someone doesn't want to be changed, when they have incontinence, how can you work with that? Well, one of the things that you could do is you can get them snap-on clothing. That would work actually really well for somebody that's got an injury, a shoulder injury or something like that, and doesn't want to lift their arm or has rib injuries or anything like that. But for incontinence, it could really work if you could take maybe 3-4 sets of pants, skirts, whatever they wear, man, woman, whatever, shorts, and have them add snaps on the sides from the waist all the way to the floor. Just cut a slit up the side and add snaps to close it from here on out. And that way, when somebody in a community, a caregiver, is working with a resident and that resident has had an accident, it's easy for them to unsnap those pants, get them off of them, and get them changed and put another set of pants on without even that person actually knowing, probably. So that might be a good way to work with that. And that was Deb that asked that question. So Deb, thank you for calling in and asking about that. I had a lady named Karen call, and she asked about agitation. How can I limit the agitation of my mom? Well, why does agitation occur for people? Part of it is that they might have health factors. I mean, that certainly could be a trigger. They could have a physical illness. They could have a urinary tract infection. They could be constipated, with fecal impaction and not be able to get it out. That hurts. And if you push too hard, then you're going to end up with a hemorrhoid. So that isn't going to be too fun. They could be dehydrated. Maybe they just need some water. Maybe they don't like the way people are approaching them. That really doesn't have anything to do with health factors, but fatigue, tiredness. They could be having hallucinations or delusions and striking out at people because they think there's someone sitting in a chair right next to them that's going to harm them. Things of that nature. So side effects of medication can certainly impact someone's agitation and make them kind of unruly and hard to deal with. Depression and anxiety. And what can you do about that? Maybe you could just ask the doctor who's in charge of the care of your loved one to look at some medications, try them out, one at a time, see what you can find that could calm that person, that would work well with their body so they're not having effects like diarrhea or anything else, upset stomach with those drugs. That could maybe help a bunch. What could be a reason for them that is not a health factor? They could be just really, really tired. They could perceive that somebody walking up to them and is standing on top of them is a threat. That person's talking over them and looking down on them could be very, very scary to them. That could be a real issue. One reason they might be agitated is because they have a feeling of failure, that they're not going to win an argument with you. If they tell you that they see a dead person there and you say that person's not there, they're going to feel like you think they're crazy. They might feel like you're going to give them some rejection in some way that they don't like and that they won't work with. They could be just plain scared, feelings of insecurity, anger, frustration. They think everyone's a stranger. They might think that they're having a situation of maybe isolation and just pure loneliness. They could just be hungry, thirsty, bored. They have to go to the bathroom. When someone can't talk to us and they have these feelings of agitation, Karen, look at all these issues that might be coming up that happened before that person got agitated, during the time they're agitated. Was there shadows blowing through the breeze in the windows? Were they cold because of air conditioning in the summertime? Were they too hot because of the heat in the winter? Did you change their location? Did you try to sit them down in a chair that's black and they thought they were going to fall? What happened that led to that agitation? I think in general, Caregiver Nation, we really have to look at, is that person overstimulated? Do they have too much noise, not enough noise? Was there a serious change in their routine? Was there a new caregiver on staff? Was it a change of staff? If that person is at home, were they alone a lot of the day? And then you came in and maybe startled them and all of a sudden they threw something at you. Is there a lack of structure in their day? Have they been out for lunch? Have they been out for a walk? Did they get any sunshine today? There's a lot of reasons that a person would be agitated. And our job is to find that unmet need, that source of the stimulation or lack of stimulation or just the environmental factors that could have played a part in that person getting agitated. So I love answering listeners' questions. Again, I have my trivia question today, and I'd like you to call in and tell me what you might want me to talk about next week. We've got 8 minutes left, 303-631-1430.
Living and working with Alzheimer's and other dementias can often be challenging. Summit Resilience Training provides education utilizing non-medical approaches for those who work with our friends affected by dementia. Believing families still need one-on-one assistance, we provide classes which help them understand the diseases affecting their loved ones, offering strategies and techniques for success with activities of daily living and working with confusing behaviors. We offer in-home assessments, education programs, instilling person-centered care philosophies are offered for professional caregivers working in communities and homes, which can be customized for their staff. Training is also available for first responders. We are passionate that people with dementias such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and others are approached with compassion and understanding, and those who work with them have all the tools they need for success. Call us at Summit Resilience Training, 303-420-6988, to schedule a class or in-home assessment. Visit our website at summitresiliencetraining.com for more information.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right. So we're talking strategies today and answering listeners' questions and emails. And so I had a lady named Maria who asked me last week, why does a person say just no, I don't want to do something? If you say, do you want to take a bath or shower? No. Do you want to help me fold towels? No. Will you come in and sit down and have some lunch with me? No. Why do people say no? Well, they say no mainly because they have forgotten how to do that activity. They cannot remember the steps in a task that they have to complete to get that activity done. So, folks out there, remember this. If you don't remember another thing I've said all day, remember this. When a person says no, it doesn't mean no, I don't want to do it. It means no, I've forgotten how to do it. So instead of saying, do you want a cup of tea? No. How about we have a cup of tea? Let me get you a cup of tea. Something like that. Instead of saying, do you want a bath or a shower? Just say, I do not want a shower. Oh my goodness, I would like to take you down to the hall and show you something in the bathroom or something. We have a question on line one, or an answer on line one to the trivia question. Hello, this is Jill. What's your answer?
My answer is E, all of the above.
You are so correct. Who am I talking to?
Sandy.
Hi, Sandy. You did a good job on that question.
Thank you.
That is absolutely correct. All of those people, Norman Rockwell, Rita Hayworth, Rosa Parks, and Ronald Reagan all had Alzheimer's. Good job. Hey, Sandy, while I have you on the phone.
Norman Rockwell.
What's that? Norman Rockwell?
I wasn't sure about him, but I knew the others did.
Yes, that's exactly right. They all did. So, Sandy, if you could pick a topic with your loved one that would have helped or would help you, what maybe would you like me to talk about on the show? Do you have any ideas? I put you on the spot there, didn't I?
Yeah. When I took my mom out to eat, I always made sure she paid part of the time because she still had her pride, even though she didn't know what the value of money was or anything. So, you know, something like that. You know, if they're able to take their loved one out, let them pay once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Maintain their dignity and quality of
exactly.
life. Perfect. Okay, well, that is awesome. Thanks, Sandy. I appreciate you calling in. You've just
All
won
right,
a
no
Summit
problem.
Resilience coffee cup. Well, stay
right,
on the line
you.
And we'll get your address and we'll send it to you, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, that was good. So anyway, back to what we were talking about. What we were talking about, how to try to understand when someone they may be saying no, they don't want to do something. Just say, we're going to get you a nice sweater on right now because it's a little cool outside. Okay? Here's a load of towels. I'll start folding them. If you want help, you can help me. And then maybe you just hand it to them. You walk them down the hall and try to help them get into the bath or shower, and maybe you just hand them a nice warm towel or something like that as you're walking down the hallway and you've got the bathroom all set up. I've got information on bathing without a battle on my website. So all those kind of things can really, really help. And I love, love, love getting all the emails and letters and people that I see around the city telling me what's going on with the people that they love that have different types of dementia. And please continue to send those. My email is Jill@Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, Resilience, R-E-S-I-L-I-E-N-C-E, training.com. Jill@SummitResilienceTraining.com. You can call me at 303-420-6988. And if I don't answer, leave me a message. I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And just remember, folks, on my website, I put these podcasts on under a tab that actually says podcast, and I tell you what the show was about. So you can go on there and listen to any of the shows. It comes right back here to Cruisin' 1430 as well. And so we can try to let you know what those shows were actually about, and so you can get to the one that really fits the need and the resource that you were looking for with the radio podcast. By the way, I now load all these podcasts on iTunes, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and TuneIn. And when you get on those and look for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, please subscribe so that every week when I load my shows on there, it will send you an alert that my show has a new posting. And you can listen to past shows. They're all going to be in order, and listen to new information. By the way, next week on, or this week actually, Wednesday the 9th from 6 to 7 at Bellevue Heights, I am presenting information in my spring lecture series. I'm sorry, I can't get that out of my mouth. In my spring lecture series about what is normal aging and what isn't, and what is the latest and greatest in research. So if you want to attend that, please call Bellevue Heights and just let them know you're coming so they make sure they have enough snacks and seats for everybody. We're starting to get good turnouts at those lectures, and that number is 303-690-0700. That's 303-690-0700, 0700, and let them know you're coming. I love answering questions for all of you every week, and gosh, I just really hope that you let me know what you want to hear about, or I'll just make something up, because I have enough information from the clients I have out there and all the crazy things that go on in the homes in America and also in the communities in America that I could keep this show going for the next 15 years. But I appreciate you all so much, and I really, really look forward to talking to you every week, providing the best resources that we have, and everything that I can do to help you. And don't forget, I do have bundles on my website, 26 different bundles of talking about Medicare, Medicaid, how do you take the car keys away? What do I do when I'm looking for a care community? How do I bring in home care? All kinds of different information. It took me over a year to find for my mom, and I don't want any of you to have to do that. So 26 bundles of information that will help you enormously. Okay? So I look forward to seeing you every week. Give me a call, 303-420-6988, or call me at Jill@SummitResilienceTraining.com. Email me. I'm sorry. My website is SummitResilienceTraining.com. And I will see you next week on Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.